I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go to Philippians chapter number 4. Would you do that? Go to Philippians chapter number 4. And have you guys noticed, and I don't know if you picked up on this or not, but have you noticed that during the holiday season, when you're supposed to like get some time for R&R and a little relay, have you noticed over the holidays that things are hectic? Have you noticed that? All right, I didn't know if it was just me or... Have you noticed that things are hectic and crazy? And you know, our lives are such that we live, most of us anyway, we live under a barrage of pressures, demands and deadlines and aggravations. We're running hard and we're burning up a lot of energy, and sometimes we're burning out. And when I was a kid, I don't know if you ever had this. How many of you have ever had one of those little things they call a gerbil? Have you ever had a gerbil? My wife says, she just says it's a little rat is all it is. But when I was a kid, I had a gerbil. And have you ever seen a gerbil get up on one of those wheels? And they get up on that wheel, and that, when I was a kid, I'd see that gerbil, and I'm looking at that gerbil, and I'm thinking to myself, has it ever occurred to you, Mr. Gerbil, that you're not going anywhere? You are spinning fast, but going nowhere. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like that gerbil on that wheel? You know, sometimes I look at my life and I think, man, I'm like that gerbil on that wheel. And I think that we've all been there, and I think that sometimes we live there. But then what we do is we convince ourselves, well, that kind of stressed out life is normal. And I mean, you know, after all, isn't everybody else living the same kind of crazy lifestyle? But remember, what's common isn't necessarily normal. I mean, if a person lived in a hospital, they may get the idea that it is normal to be sick. But, you know, being surrounded by illness doesn't mean that we ought to be satisfied to be sick. I mean, that's not, that certainly we would all agree, healthy is normal. But, you know, when we talk about living a life of stress, let me ask you a question. Living a life of stress, is that how God meant for a Christian to live, yes or no? No. You know, there are three quick thoughts that I want to give you by way of introduction about the thing that the world calls stress. And that is this: stress is the opposite of peace. I want to read to you what the dictionary defines as stress. You ready for this? Listen closely. Stress: a force exerted when one body or body part presses on, pulls on, pushes against, or tends to compress or twist another body or body part. You know, those stress verbs fit most of us, don't they? Pressed on, pulled on, pushed against, compressed, twisted. I want you to look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7, and I want you to notice God's answer to stress. Look with me at Philippians 4, 6. Be careful. That word careful is an old English word. It means, literally, it means stressed out. It means be careful, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the, what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your... Now notice the two things it keeps. What's the peace of God keep? It keeps my what? My heart, which is the seat of my emotions, And it keeps my what? Mind. The word keep, idea that it guards, it protects. So it keeps, it guards, it protects my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. God's answer to stress is what? Peace. You can't have one and have the other simultaneously. I cannot be stressed out one minute and that same minute have the peace of God. The two are antonyms. They're opposites. You cannot have one and have the other simultaneously. So stress is the opposite of peace. The second thought I want to give you by way of introduction is this. Stress is no respecter of age. Stress is not an adult thing anymore, is it? I mean, so many children today, you know, they've got them on medication because they're stressed out or because of this or that. It starts young in our culture today. Kids are under relentless pressure to perform. Kids are under relentless pressure to perform in everything from Little League to Pop Warner to beauty pageants to A Honor Roll. Kids are under this pressure, perform, perform, perform. Carefree just does not describe children as it once did. Carefree. That just doesn't describe kids as it did maybe when you were a kid or I was a kid. Teenagers and teenage, you know, the other day, one of my kids was stressed out and was all worried because he wanted to play football later in the day and it was raining. And I said, son, I wish that was the biggest worry in my life. You know, but you know, teenagers and young adults, they're under this crushing pressure concerning so many critical issues. Boy, I tell you one thing, I wouldn't want to be a teenager today, would you? Now, they're next door. Teenagers are over there, a bunch of them, and they're meeting tonight. And I'm glad, I'm thankful for that because it's tough. You know, it's tough. I mean, you got so many pressures and things with the computer age and Facebook and with you know the computers and texting and internet and all these stuff with that teenagers deal with. You know, it's unbelievable. And then married life comes, and you know what? We get married, and our stress is over. Amen. You remember the gerbil on the wheel? You get married, now there's two wheels going. Right? Now there's two wheels going at the same time in the same house. Then children come. And then they grow up. And they got their schedules. And they got their things. Now more wheels. Midlife comes. And then the senior years, you know. And, you know, senior years have their own peculiar set of problems. Amen, seniors? And so stress is, my point is this. Stress is the opposite of peace. Stress is no respecter of age. But the third thought that I want to give you by way of introduction, and then we're going to get into some principles from God's Word. Stress distorts everything else in life. Stress distorts everything else in life. I said that stress is the opposite of peace. I said stress is no respecter of age. And I said, number three, stress distorts everything else in life. It distorts our family relationships when we're under stress. When we're under stress, it distorts friendships. It distorts work. It distorts our perspective. It distorts our feelings. It distorts our physical will. It distorts all these things. Many times what happens is we grasp at things, and we look forward to events, and we think that's going to relieve the stress. That's going to bring me peace. And what we do is we get a bad case of the as soon as. See what I mean? Even in church, people want to talk to us and stress us out, you know? Can't even go to church, you know, and escape it. Really, I mean, honestly, My kids can't believe that we ever lived a life without computers and cell phones. They can't believe that we actually got a college degree without a cell phone or without internet, you know. But, you know, it's the truth. We get a case of the as soon as. You know, every as soon as opens the door to another one. We say, well, you know, we're like the gerbil on the wheel, you know, and we're like, it's going to slow down as soon as I get into high school. It's going to slow down as soon as I get out of high school. It's going to slow down. You know what? As soon as I get a car. As soon as I get more friends. As soon as I get a job. It's going to slow down. As soon as I get a raise. As soon as I get married. As soon as I get a house. And then it's, you know what? My wheel's going to slow down as soon as I get a bigger house. When I get finished with this project. Then we say, oh, the stress will be gone as soon as I can get children. I just want kids. And then it's, I'll finally get rid of the stress when I get rid of these kids. Some of you that have kids that are grown, you never get rid of them, amen. But, and I'm teasing, but, you know, we all love our kids, and, you know. But, you know, I'm going to get off of this wheel. As soon as I get a vacation, as soon as I get my pension, as soon as I get something to do now that I'm retired, you know, as soon as. And you know what? Here's the bottom line. We may find a temporary sedative, but the pain of stress returns with its distorting influence. So I want to give you three biblical principles about peace. Number one, peace is personal. Peace is personal. There's a song that says, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Well, we know biblically there's not going to be peace on earth until Jesus Christ returns. So we understand doctrinally that's not correct. But there is a bit of truth in there. Because if there's going to be peace in my family, if there's going to be peace in my relationships, if there's going to be peace with my friends, if there's going to be peace at the office and on we could go, then let it begin with me. You know, we live in a very chaotic world. The only hope of finding peace in this chaotic environment called planet Earth is you have to find a personal peace. And that's what God's offering to the believer in Christ. Go back to Philippians chapter 1, since you're right there anyway. And Philippians 1, and look at verse 2. Notice he's writing to Christians, and he says in Philippians 1, 2, and you're going to find this is at the beginning of most of Paul's letters, grace be unto you and what? Peace. Where does it come from? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the next book. Go to Colossians. I'm sorry, wrong. Go backwards. Ephesians. Go to the book right before Philippians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 2. Again, grace be to you and peace. Look at that. Isn't that precious? And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the next book before that, Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1:3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you starting to get the idea? Go back two books to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Let's go up to verse 2 and get the context. Verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and what, church? Peace. From God our Father and from the Lord. Do you think Paul's trying to make a point here? Let's go to the next book before that. Romans chapter 1, the book right before that. Romans 1. And this time we're going to go down to verse 7. Romans 1. Let's see. Let's go up here to verse 6. Romans 1:6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Okay, look at this. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want you to see here is that peace is personal. Peace has to happen here. We live in a chaotic world. We live in a chaotic environment. And if we're going to have peace, it has got to happen internally. It's got to happen here. Which brings me to my next point, which is this. And this for this one, I want you to go back two more books to the book of John. Go back to John chapter 16. We're just going to kind of keep moving backwards here. Go to John chapter 16. The second principle, if you're taking notes, is this. Not only is peace personal, but number two, peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is not the absence of problems. John 16, 33. John 16, and look at the last verse there, verse 33. Jesus said, these things, told his disciples, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Isn't that a great verse to cling to? That in me you might have peace. Now, look what he says, though. He warns them, in the world ye shall have what, church? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what he's telling them? He's saying, hey, boys, I'll give you peace. But let me warn you, even though I give you an internal peace, that doesn't mean the absence of problems. Because in the world, as long as you're in this world system where Satan's the god of this world, ye shall have tribulation. Now, we in Florida, we know something about hurricanes. Can I get an amen to that? We know about hurricanes. We know that. We had three of them a few years ago in 1 year. And we know this, don't we? That in the middle of every savage hurricane, in the middle of the hurricane is the what? The eye. And it's perfectly still. Perfectly still. Peace. You see, here's what I'm saying. We said the opposite of stress is what? Peace. The peace alternative that God's offering you. The peace alternative that God offers you to your stress. That peace alternative that calms our heart. Just brings a calm. It doesn't offer a world without storms. In fact, I want to submit to you, The more you seek God, the more you walk with God, and the more your heart is stabilized with peace and calm, the more the storms may intensify. The more the storms may intensify. But what I want you to see is that it's possible to live at peace in the eye of the storm. It's possible to have your heart anchored with peace in the midst of the chaotic, stressful world that we live in. Your heart can be anchored with peace. Peace is personal. Peace is not the absence of problems. So let's get out of our mind, well, when this problem goes away, I'll have peace again. Well, when this event happens, I'll have peace again. And we blame sometimes maybe a stress and things on this or that. But just remember this, peace is not the absence of problems. Because as long as you live on planet Earth, you know what you're going to have? Problems. I learned that a long time ago. That problems are a part of life. And, you know, It's like people in their marriages, you know, they have problems in their marriage, and they think, well, boy, if I was married to that guy over there, I sure wouldn't have any problems. Let's talk to his wife. Well, boy, if I was married to her, boy, I sure wouldn't be stressed out. Boy, and we think, maybe if I change this or that or, you know. Well, remember, peace is personal. Peace is not the absence of problems. And the third principle I want to give you is this. Peace is not passive. What I mean by that, when I say peace is not passive, what that means is this. If you're saved tonight, if you know the Lord, are you at peace with God if you're saved? Yeah. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if I'm saved, according to that verse, peace with God isn't something I'm going to get. It's something I've already got. So, I am as at peace with God as I will ever be. I am as at peace with God right now as I will be a million years from now. See, I'm at peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. So I have this position of peace. That is my eternal destiny, legacy, whatever you want to say, but it starts right now. I've got peace. Now, a lot of times we have a position of peace as Christians, but stress is calling the shots. We have a position of peace, but stress is calling the shots. And peace will not come looking for you. Have you noticed that? You aren't going to stumble on it by accident. Peace is something that has to be proactively sought. Psalm 34:14 says, seek peace and pursue it. Hunt it down. There's a great verse I want you to look at. This is good. Look, go to 1 Peter chapter 4, back towards the back of your Bible, heading back to the Hebrew epistles. 1 Peter 4, I'm sorry, did I say 4? 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You guys are going to love this. Look at these are a couple of verses here that I think you're going to love them. And some of you are going to probably write these down and put it on your mirror at home or put it somewhere. These are good verses. Look at 1 Peter 3 and look at verse 10. I love this first phrase. For he that will love life and see good days. I love that. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Well, that's pretty good advice, amen? And his lips, that they speak no guile. And then look at verse 11. Look at the next part of the equation here. Let him eschew evil. In other words, turn it away. Bible says abstain from the appearance of evil. That's the idea. Let him eschew evil and do good. But then look at the next part of the equation here about loving life and seeing good days. If you want to love life and see good days, let him, what's the next two words? Seek peace. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That just means pursue. Go after it. That's two good verses right there. You want to love life? You want to see good days? He says, watch your tongue. Refrain your tongue from evil, that's a nice way of saying, shut up. Quit talking so much. Just learn to close those lips. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Paul told Timothy, Timothy, flee youthful lust, but follow. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Romans 14, 19 says, now listen to this one. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And things, listen to this, follow after things wherewith one may edify another. He said, follow after the things which make for peace. And the things wherewith one may edify another. Ephesians 4:3, Paul said, listen to this one, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. Pursue it. Work for it. Push for peace. Push for it to be there. The pursuit of peace sometimes demands tough choices. The pursuit of peace sometimes demands active choices. You know, I've known guys maybe they're offered a promotion at work, but it means they're going to have to pick up their family and uproot them, and they're going to have to take them out of their school and out of their church and out of the youth group or whatever, and they're going to have to move them over here and where they don't know if there's a good church and it's going to mean more hours, and it's going to mean more stress, it's going to mean more this and that. And you know, I've known guys before to just say, nah, I'll just stay where I'm at rather than try to climb the ladder, because they just want to seek peace. They want to pursue it. They want to hunt after it. And sometimes the pursuit of peace demands some active choices. No matter how turbulent, no matter how painful my life may seem right now, peace is there for the pursuing. If I wait for it, it's not going to come. I got to go after it. I have to apply God's word, and then I'll find it. I like it, that verse we studied when we went through Colossians this year. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule your hearts. Yeah, I like that. Let the peace of God rule your heart. That's a great verse to study. You ought to go back and listen to that Bible study we did on that. If maybe this is a struggle right now for you, and that's a great verse, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule your heart. What's ruling your heart right now? Is it peace or stress? You say, well, it's stress. Well, dethrone it. Dethrone it and enthrone peace. Is it possible to have peace in a stressful world, yes or no? Yes, it is. You say, how do you know? Well, number one, Jesus promised it. He promised it. We read it earlier, right? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We know that peace is possible because God promised it. Go back with me real quickly. Go back to John again. Go back to that book of John 14. John chapter 14. We were in 16 a few minutes ago. But go back to John 14. John 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. Now, look what Jesus said right here. Look what he said. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be what? Don't let it be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Go to John 16, John 16, verse 33. We read this a moment ago. Let's read it again. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, underline that, in me, ye might have peace. Now, in the world, they're going to give you tribulation. He said, but in me, he said, you're going to have peace. Hey, can I submit to you, if it were not possible for us to have peace, Jesus would have never promised it. Jesus is called the truth. He's the embodiment of truth. Jesus Christ cannot lie. So yes, 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 it is possible to live peaceably in a stressful world. It's part of our birthright as a child of God. It's promised. Not only that, it's commanded. Go over to John 14 again. John 14. And you notice he gives them the promise there, peace I leave with you. I'm in verse 27, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. There's the promise, okay? But then look at the end part of the verse. Notice the command. Let not your heart be what? That's another, look, troubled is, in common day vernacular, what we would say in America is, let not your heart be stressed out. That's what it means. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be stressed out. He commands us. Remember the verse earlier we said, follow after the things which make for peace. That's a command. How about this one? Let me just quote this. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, now listen to this command. God told the church, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Live in peace. Peace. That's a command. He commanded it. Let me ask you a question. Think with me, church. If it were not possible to live a life of peace, would Jesus have commanded us to? Well, no, he's not going to command you to do something you can't do. So obviously it is possible. Peaceful living is not a divine suggestion. It's a command. It's God's will for our lives. Did you know that's God's will for your life? In 1 Timothy 2:2, you all know that passage where he says, let prayers and intercessions be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. And then you know what he said in 1 Timothy 2:2? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So we know that's God's will, that our heart have that peace that passes all understanding. Even when the storms are raging, even when turbulence is around us, even when circumstances call for stress, God says, I'm offering you peace. God says, if you'll implement what I've told you to do, I'm telling you, I will give you peace. Jesus said, you'll find peace in me. And that's what Paul said in Philippians 4. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Give it to Him, and the peace of God will keep your heart, your mind, through Christ Jesus. Now, let me give you one more thing of encouragement, and I'm done. Peaceful living in a stressful world has been, it's been promised to you. It's been commanded. But the third thing is this. God has enabled you to have peace. He's enabled you. You say, how? Go to John 14. Let me show you how God has enabled you to have peace. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and He shall give you another what? Comforter. That He may abide with you, notice how long? Forever. Even the, and He's going to tell you who the Comforter is. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be where? Future tense. He says he says there in verse 17 that He dwells with you. That was that dispensation. Holy Spirit would dwell with them. But then future tense, which is a reference to where we're at today, shall be. Notice where the Holy Spirit's going to be future tense. In the dispensation of grace today, where does the Holy Spirit live today? In you. He's not, Holy Spirit isn't with us. I've told you before and kind of teased around about it, how we pray these generic prayers that really don't make a lot of sense. And we're like, oh, Lord, I pray you'll be with Leo tomorrow when he goes in for knee surgery. It is knee surgery, right, Leo? Right. Lord, be with Leo as he goes in for knee surgery. Well, you know, Leo knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, which means the Holy Spirit lives where? In him. So, Lord, be with Leo. Well, whether I pray that or not, is God going to be with him? Yeah, that's kind of a dumb thing to pray, isn't it? I'm praying for something that God's already going to do and has already promised to do. Now, I can say, Lord, I just pray that doctor will be filled with wisdom and he'll cut the right knee open. Now, that's probably something to pray about, amen? Sorry, Leo. But that'd be something that would make sense to pray about, is pray for that doctor, Pray for the nurses. Pray for the people who give him the anesthesia. Pray that he'll get good care. Pray that, that God will give him a thorough and complete recovery. Those are things to pray about. But not, Lord, be with him. The Lord's going to be with him. Hey, listen, isn't it great to know as a Christian, I can't go anywhere and not have the Lord with me. I mean, you go in for surgery, he's with you. You come into this church, he's with you. You go to work, he's with you. You get in your car, he's with you. You go in Walmart, he's with you. Walmart. Oh. That brought back some evil things. Anyway, my point is this, okay? In the dispensation that we live in today, where does the Holy Spirit live? And Christ said it was going to happen. Where does he live? In us. He lives in us. Look at John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. See, notice how the correlation between the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us and peace, those how those two principles are tied together right there. Can anybody tell me this? Fill in the blank here, okay? Let me read this for time's sake. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Does anybody know what the next one is? Peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. So the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, indwells us. And one of the things that he produces if we let him, if we don't quench him, if we don't grieve him, if we don't get to walk it after the flesh and doing it our way, one of the things that the Holy Spirit bears in our life is peace. Peace. The peace of God. Now remember, we already got peace with God. That's our position eternally. But the peace of God is something the Holy Spirit bears in your life as you yield to Him. He came to bear the fruit of peace in our life. If we had to find peace on our own, it would be impossible. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, lives within us and has enabled us. Remember, peace is promised, it's commanded, but He's enabled us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us and enables us to experience peace, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of stress. He's enabled us to have that peace. You say, well, Pastor Dan, this is December 28th. It's 3 days after Christmas. We're not in any series. Why'd you choose to preach this tonight? Because I need it as much as you do. This ministers to me as I'm preaching it to you. Aren't you glad the God of peace lives inside of us?